The reading this morning is John chapter 10 and verses 11 to 21. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. At these words, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here, isn't it? I don't know, do you remember the banking crisis back in 2007? Some of our pension pots will have been hit and savings, etc., etc. I mean, they say that it was due to the subprime mortgage market collapsing. There were those that were in the banking industry that were in it for personal gain, focusing on how to get a bigger bonus, how they could make more for themselves, thinking about their own interests rather than the interests of those that have saved and invested with them. You say they were out for themselves. In our reading this morning, we have that contrast between the good shepherd and the hired hand, or as some call it, the false shepherd. That hired hand would be one that would be looking out for their own interests. When danger comes, they wouldn't be hanging around, they'd be running in the opposite direction. Whereas the good shepherd, as Bradley has said, would share concern and care, love and compassion, and offers protection from danger for those in his care. The text tells us that the shepherd would lay down his life for his sheep. In fact, the shepherd would say, "You'd have to come through me before you get to my sheep." That would be the role of the good shepherd. In other words, the shepherd would protect his sheep, wouldn't allow them to come to any harm, no matter what predators might be lurking in the undergrowth or further afield. You see, the short parable that Jesus tells us is pointing us to what Jesus is going to do later on at the end of his ministry. So to be a good shepherd, it means that you need to have compassion, to demonstrate love, care, and concern for others. Also that you're not out to satisfy your own interests, but you are looking out for the interests of others. And I don't know about you, but that reminds me of a reading from Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4 that says this. "Do nothing out of selfish ambition or a vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but the interests of others." And as I was thinking about this, I was reflecting on Psalm 23. Let me just remind you what it says. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides my paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Great psalm, isn't it? But I just, as I was reflecting on that, I just thought, actually, that describes the Good Shepherd to me in a nutshell, really, in Psalm 23, that sense that what the Good Shepherd does here in Psalm 23 really underlines that whole passage that we read in John. You know, David wrote that psalm, Psalm 23, and he wrote it out of the experience that he had of his God. That experience that rooted and grounded him, and that he could write those words and say, yeah, my God is the God I can trust. A God who will walk with me, will never abandon me, will lead me. Even when I face foe, he will be there with me. And I thought that just summed it up really, really well. You see, we too can experience that love of the and the care and compassion when we come to Jesus. When we come and avail ourselves of him and say, Lord, we want to be in your flock. We want to join your band. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. So Bradley's demonstration was good, wasn't it? That sense of, oh, don't we rely on our mobile phones? We have a dead spot in our kitchen. That when I've got my mobile phone on, if I move to that mobile phone, you just don't hear anything. When we were up in North Devon at Lee Abbey, you didn't get hardly any signal at all. We become so reliant on mobile technology, don't we? You know, and being able to communicate is one of the key things that engages us and keeps us connected. Now, wherever we are, whether that be in hospital, whether that be even in a foreign country, we can use our mobile phones. I mean, I don't know about you, but do you remember the old brick mobile phones when they first came out? You had a battery pack the size of a shoebox and bigger, and a phone that was, and you had to lug that around if you wanted to make a call. Nightmare. But that sense of being connected is really important, isn't it? There are many voices in the world today that are clamoring for our attention, that just want to break into our world. And we have a job to filter out some of those voices, don't we? And I suspect the voices that shout the loudest get our attention. Would you say that's true? The voices that shout the loudest get our attention. You know, in the days of the shepherd, the sheep would learn to recognize the voice of the shepherd. So when there was another voice trying to call them out or coerce them to do something, they would know to ignore that voice. They would know that it wasn't the master, the shepherd's voice, their shepherd that was leading them, but it was a fake voice, somebody that they didn't know or didn't trust. Now, I don't know about you, whether your grandparents, whether your mums and dads, that sense that when your children are talking or crying, you have a certain frequency that you pick up that noise, don't you? Steve, I bet if you lie in bed and one of your children's crying, you know it's your children, don't you? You do. You just know. That sense of being able to pick out the voice. When my wife calls, I hear. She'll tell me not always. She says, she doesn't say I've got selective hearing, but... But the sense that we define voices, don't we? We recognize certain voices that we trust, certain voices that we pick up. And the same is true when we to learn to listen to God. We hear God speak. Do you know God wants to speak to us? God longs to have that dialogue, that connection with us. And when we're able to recognize his voice, I suppose it's a bit like having one of those old transistor radios. You know, you remember you had a big tuning button that you get the squawk until you found the right channel, and you had to try it. That's it, John, keep going. You had to try and just get it right so you get the right channel. I used to love going to my grandparents' house. They used to have a big one, and I could pick up the police band. And I used to tune it in and sit there for 20 minutes or so just listening to the conversation that was going on. It was fascinating. Anyway, that's by the by. But that sense that you're able, does it work, boys? This is great. Practically putting into practice. You know, so tuning and getting the right frequency is important. I don't know about you, but do you believe in coincidences? No. Well, I believe in God instances. That sense where God wants to break into our lives. And that sense that there's a story at the beginning of my ministry that I may have shared with you, but I was at a small chapel in a place called Woodhouse Eaves. And I was at the point of, is this the road that you want to take me down, Lord? I was praying. And Father, you're going to have to show me. So my neighbors invited us to this little church in Woodhouse Eaves that used to meet in the Round. It was a lovely little chapel. And we were there, and there was an itinerant preacher and his wife, and his wife read the lesson. And I've been going, Lord, I don't know why I'm here, but I'm still in that place of waiting to hear from you. And then all of a sudden, it was a beautiful blue day. It was a great day. It was lovely. And there was a bolt of lightning that struck the church. It struck the church. The power went dead. The projection system went dead. And it was at the point that she was reading the lesson. And the lesson was about Paul's meeting of God on the Damascus Road. As soon as she got to the point where Paul experienced a blinding light, you had this bolt of lightning hit the church. And I'm going, whoa, this is very odd. The power goes off for at least, it seems like 2 minutes, but I think it came on and went on again. But just that, it left me cold in my seat. That sense of, God, is this for me? Is this what you're trying to say to me? Because I'm a bit thick at times, you know, for God to break through. And it was just incredible. After the service, I went outside and it was still a beautiful blue day. And I wonder, where on earth did that bolt of lightning come from? Because by all accounts, it shouldn't have come, should it? You need cloud and covering and stuff for it to happen. But this bolt of lightning hit. And I took that as a sign from God. And here I am today because of that initial, there are many, many different instances where that happened, but God, not bolts of lightning, I hasten to add, but many instances where God broke through and spoke into my life, and I took that as that sign, that big step that we were prepared to leave full-time work and go into training and all the risks and everything else that was with it. But it wasn't a risk, really. It was just our perception of being a risk at the time. You see, our passage describes Jesus that he cares for the sheep and the sheep in his sheep pen. And he wants to bring them all together. That sense that Jesus is saying that there are two sheep pens in our reading. There's the sheep that he's looking after and another fold that he wants to bring together. And in our reading, it's talking about Jesus referring to Jew and Gentile. Now, we know in the story of the Good Samaritan about Jews and Gentiles, they didn't get on, did they? But Jesus was the catalyst to bring these two great nations together so that there may be one flock and one shepherd that will fulfill the calling of Scripture. And we find that in this simple parable that Jesus tells of the lost, of the parable of the Good Shepherd. Fantastic. Great. Well, I wonder, have you ever lost anything? Perhaps we should ask Jean to come and join me. Sorry. It's a nightmare, isn't it, when you lose something? Absolute nightmare. Your world goes into a spin. And you think, where on earth have I left it? Where have I put it? You retrace your steps and, you know, just that. It's really, it's a strange feeling, isn't it, that comes over you. Especially when the thing that you've lost is valuable. Or has a big sentimental value to you. There's a story in the Bible that's told about something that's lost, and that's the story of the lost sheep, where the shepherd realizes that one of his 100 sheep have gone walkies. They've strayed from the fold, and they've gone and wandered away. And so the shepherd goes after the one sheep and finds that one sheep and brings them back into the fold. The Bible tells us that because Jesus is the shepherd and his love for each of us or his sheep, that he will pursue after the one that is lost, the one that has wandered away, the one that has lost its path. The shepherd will risk everything to bring that one sheep back to safety. So if it's fallen, our picture here, it's fallen down a valley in a precarious place. But that sense that the good shepherd will go after the one that has wandered off. I don't know whether you realize, but the scripture here that Jesus is wanting to bring about the good shepherd refers to those of us, those that he cares for. We know Jesus spoke in parables, and those parables were riddles in many ways. And those that couldn't understand it at the time, well, that was a nice story, thank you very much. But actually, that sense that Jesus is saying it for a purpose, and that hidden purpose is that Jesus is the good shepherd, and we are the sheep of his pasture. And he wants to come and redeem those and look after and care for and show compassion and love and care and concern for those of us that are in that sheepfold, but also for those that are outside the sheepfold, for those that are outside in our community, for those that have perhaps wandered away. And we know God is after, God is in pursuant. God is a God who pursues after because he wants to reveal his love to those outside in our community. Now, yesterday we had an amazing morning at Messy Church. We haven't got any pictures to show you this morning, but that sense that we had 35 children come, which is actually probably more than we could have coped with at that point. We had, I think there was about 28 adults, parents come. And we had some amazing conversations. There was lots of craft going on, lots of engagement. And it was a really positive day. And we saw many new families come that we hadn't seen before. And primarily they'd come out of the lunch club that Bradley and I run on a Thursday at Brixington. We'd given some leaflets out in assembly saying, we've got this lunch club coming on and we've got Messy Church going on, come and join us. They came and joined us, and it was great on Saturday morning. There was a real buzz, a real sense of connectivity that was going on. You see, God is in the business of pursuing people that are lost. God is in the business of bringing redemption and saving grace to those that find themselves in that place, down a ravine, down a blind alley, where they're at the point where they just don't know what to do, and they reach out and we know Jesus is there waiting. And it is in that place of reaching out that God touches lives. And sometimes that can take people to very dark places, can't it? When people get to the lowest ebb, people sometimes offer a prayer, don't they? Because they don't know what else to do. They cry out to a God that they've not really known or met, but they're in this place that they just don't know what to do, and they cry out. Sometimes they can be in that place where self-sufficiency is, and I don't need God, and I'm all right, thank you very much. But God will bring them to a point where they will recognize that they are in need of him. And they will have the choice, like we had, to say yes or no to follow him. And my prayer is that God, Jesus being the good shepherd, will continue to pursue after those that are in that place of lostness, let's call it. And that as he does that, there will be the sense that as people recognize that the gift and the love that Jesus offers will come to that place of recognizing Jesus as Lord. And so the parable of the good shepherd comes full circle, that Jesus then becomes the good shepherd for those that have been in that place that have been lost. You know, it's a real joy knowing that your sins have been forgiven and that you've been set free. Because we know that actually sin leads to death, but Jesus offers us another path which leads to life. And that life, as the promise as we read in Scripture, is life to life eternal. That the life that we have on earth is not the end. There is more. Whether you believe that or not, the Bible says that that is what Jesus promises for us. So the good shepherd, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. My sheep know my voice and follow me. It's Jesus doesn't drive us, but he invites us to follow him. That sense says, as we walk with him, as we journey with him, that he's longing to walk with us and guide us in our path. And I'm sure there are many stories around the room about how God has guided you and directed you as you've walked with him. And they're really good stories, and I'm sure about that. Okay. Now we're drawing to a close. So we're just going to pray, and then we're going to sing our final song this morning. So Father, we pray this morning that you would be our good shepherd. You would lead and guide us. That we would recognize and hear your voice amongst the many noises that are clamoring for our attention. But Father, that we would develop that ability to tune into you, to hear what you're saying, and to follow you. Guide us in this, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.